Christian greetings to each one this morning. People of the living God, I noticed that the author of that was James Montgomery. And I used to have a little, I still have a little Methodist hymnal, leather bound. And I used to use that in my devotions. And whenever I would come to Montgomery, he was one of my favorite authors. I really appreciated the old hymns that he wrote. I'd like to look, if you want to look with me, over into the little book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. If you find Job and go back a couple books, you'll find Nehemiah. And I'd like to start in the first chapter there. In the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hichlaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, and I sat down and wept. I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are the servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, and desire to fear thy name, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. I believe we'll just bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, this morning we're so thankful again for the great Church of God, triumphant, that marches onward and marches forward. We're thankful we can be a part of the Bride of Christ, and has called the Bride the apple of thine eye. And we know this morning that thy love for each one of us is more than for this whole world. Each precious soul that's gathered here this morning, we realize, Lord, that we're soon to leave this life and head on out into eternity, and we pray that thou will help us, that each one of us will properly prepare and be looking forward to the day when we can be with thee throughout eternity. We just ask, Lord, that thou will open our hearts and our eyes this morning, that thou will speak to us. Help us, Lord, to be submissive and yielded. Help us, Lord, that we might have that holy discernment. We might discern between right and wrong and live a holy life. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This scripture, I had to think, Jesus was speaking to his disciples over in Matthew, the 24th chapter. It's a familiar place where that he says in Matthew 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And then Jesus began to tell them about both of those things, the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. And he told them to take heed that no man deceive them. There's going to be great deception, and many are going to be deceived. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And yet the end would not be yet. And then he told them, he went on down through that chapter and spoke about the tribulation, the sun being darkened, the moon not giving her light, and the stars falling from heaven. And then them seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And in verse 31 he says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And you know, we may ask ourselves, well, how does this apply to us, the walls of Jerusalem and the condition that the Israelites who were God's people back in those days, and we know today in the day of grace that God has a church that's been bought by a price and we've been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. We're not our own and we don't have any rights. Our rights are all given to the Lord. And as we look back in the old church and see the little country of Israel and how those types and shadows pertain to God's holy church, his people, this first chapter of Nehemiah, I started thinking about this and reading this last week one morning. I'm not sure if it was morning or evening. And I started reading, and before I got done, I'd read the first eight chapters of Nehemiah. It was, it's just very interesting, and especially how it applies to each one of us. But these great walls had been built to keep the enemy out. This was the city of David. This was what they called Zion. This was Mount Moriah. And a lot of things that they said had already taken place on Mount Moriah. As far as I remember, I think it was Abraham had gone up to sacrifice Isaac, and a number of things had happened there. And now the temple of God, the temple was built there, and the great walls were built around it. And I quickly this morning grabbed the World Book. I thought, I want to know how big those walls were and how thick they were, and I don't want to know a little bit about them. And I found out, you know, it was a wonderful, joyful place. The walls were all intact, and the gates were all closed to the enemy, or if they were open, they were carefully guarded. If they were closed, they were locked and barred. It mentioned it several times, locked and barred, heavy gates. and the enemy could not get in. Well, how high were the walls? I couldn't believe. The Wailing Wall right now, the western wall of the temple. And the temple evidently was built right there, and it was the western wall, 62 feet tall. I was just thinking here, I don't know if this, up to the where the ceiling starts across here, usually in a house it's 8-foot ceilings, and I don't know if that's 8-foot or 10-foot. It's probably 8-foot, maybe a little higher. But if that was 10-foot, and you would go up 6 times, if you can imagine 6 times plus the wall that's around here, 62 feet, and at the lowest places, it was like right about 40 feet, from 40 feet to 60-some feet. And how thick was it? The thing was 8 foot, the wall was 8 foot thick. And I don't know, I'm 6 foot, you add a couple feet on top of me and you see how thick it was. 6 foot thick. But the walls of Jerusalem were intact. At one time, they were built up and they were for a fortification against the enemy. And the walls of salvation that we can be inside are a mighty fortress, a fortification against the enemy, against the powers of darkness, as long as we keep them intact and as long as we keep the eye gates, the ear gates, all the different gates that go into the heart closed to the suggestions of the enemy, as long as we keep those things closed, we're protected. The Holy Spirit is the one that sets a guard upon our lips, on what we say, on what we hear, on what we see, and what we think. If we allow Him to be the guardian of our heart and life, then we have safety within these mighty walls of salvation. And the gates are the gates of praise. Praise to God. It's a beautiful picture of the city of God and the kingdom of God that is set up within the hearts of every man. But when the gates are not guarded, and people say, oh, don't worry too much, everybody does it, and we've always done this, and we've done that, and they're doing this out here, and suggestions come to our mind, and we think on things that we shouldn't think of. The next thing we know, sin is conceived down here, and the enemy has found an inroad into the very center of the fortress of the kingdom, and he destroys us from the inside, and the walls, then he has no mercy. The enemy comes in and destroys the walls, destroys the gates, destroys everything that would be a bulwark against sin. And you and I need to be thankful that God has set up a mighty bulwark against the enemy as the walls of salvation that are real and true. And we don't want to do like the little nation of Israel. Unfortunately, the enemy came in, sin came in, and the enemy came in and destroyed the city. And right now they say, those walls used to be about 2.5 miles long around the city of Jerusalem. 2.5 miles. That's about the distance between here and Seymour. 40 to 60 feet high, 8 foot wide, mighty walls, and people that guarded the walls carefully, those that watched them, and they watched for the enemy. If you read on over in Nehemiah, he wouldn't go out. They, Sanballat and Tobiah, they wanted to, let's compromise a little bit. Just have a little give and take. Don't be so rigid. But the truth is the truth. And what God wants us to do is the truth. And you can't compromise the truth. You can't water down the truth. You have to stay right according to what the Word of God says. Well, 2.5 miles long. And now over in Israel, the Wailing Wall now. It's not a beautiful, a wonderful wall that you look up and you look at this mighty wall and these huge pieces of stone that were cut perfectly and brought in there so that there wouldn't be the sound of a hammer or anything there in Jerusalem. They were put in their place and so carefully placed. I forget all the details that they said. You can't hardly even get a credit card or something in the cracks. They were so perfectly shaped and put in place. But now there's 160 feet of them left. That's all that's left. And that's what they call their Wailing Wall. And they come in. The Orthodox Jews, and I guess a lot of them, come in. And they stand and they'll write on notes. And there's little crevices that are worn in the walls. And they'll write prayers on these notes and they'll stick them in the walls. And they'll wail and they'll cry. And the walls are broken down. The city's wide open to the enemy. You know, if one gate is left open to the enemy, then you're susceptible to everything that he has to bring in. One gate in our mind and our thoughts, our thought life, is left open. And the enemy slips in and begins to put things in there that shouldn't be in our mind. And before long, if we're not careful, our whole body, our thoughts, everything is polluted by the corruption of the wicked one. If we allow our ears to hear the wrong thing, if we look at the wrong thing, whether it's a book or whether it's a computer or whether somebody's watching or whether somebody's not watching. These are the mighty walls of salvation that God has built up. Nehemiah found them broken all down. And he said, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the walls thereof are burned with fire. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which both I and my father's house have sinned. And he wasn't easy on self. You know, the way to get the victory, the way to get the walls built back up is to realize they're down. And to realize the enemy is overrunning things. Things are polluted. Things are not what they should be. And then don't make excuses for yourself. I'm talking about myself too. That we just recognize where we've fallen or what has happened. And if we've allowed things to come in that shouldn't come in, that by the grace of God we do like what he says here, we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments and statutes nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant. And he told what God said, if you trespass, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But I'm so thankful for that little word there so many times in the scripture that is like a balance. One side this way or one side this way, and that little thing in the center, I can't remember what that's called. But he says over here, if you trespass, you're going to be scattered. You won't have a home, you won't have the walls, you won't have the gates of praise. But he said, if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and I will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. And now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Aren't you thankful that the Lord has provided the ways of salvation? Open the wells of salvation. Oh, thank the Lord for the living waters that spring up from there. The waters, Jesus, the living water and the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven. O Lord, I beseech thee, let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. This morning, do we have a great desire to stand in awe and reverence before God and to fear God? It just every time the lightning flashes across the sky, and we've seen a lot of it lately, haven't we? And the huge thunder booms and shakes, and the whole house shakes. I think again of the mighty power of God. I want to be where He wants me to be. He says, and they desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He was going to go before the king and ask a petition of him that the walls of Jerusalem would be able to be rebuilt. You know, this morning, if we've left any gaps, if we've left the door open to the enemy a little, if we sense that he's slipped in and he's taken advantage of us, let's humble ourselves before him and let's pray and let's seek his face that we might be completely submissive in his hands. Let's kneel and pray.